Welcome to A Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Susan Franzen, bringing you part of the final presentation in Leaning It Forward, a series brought to you in collaboration between the Ames branch of the NAACP and the City of Ames. But first, a summary of this week's news with Dennis Hart. Take it away, Dennis.
The coronavirus continued to make news in a big way on the pages of the Ames Tribune this past week, but it was not the only story that broke through. Let's start with last Friday, when the Trib reported that 15 new cases of the virus had been confirmed in Story County, bringing the total number to 904. Two of those new cases took place at Acura Healthcare in Ames, where a total of 37 confirmed cases had been reported. Last Friday's paper also reported that Ames School District officials had made virtual presentations to elementary, middle school, and high school families, covering how school buildings might operate this fall and exploring the district's return-to-learn plan. The district will decide how school will look this year on August 10th. The district will not screen students at the door. Students and staff will be required to wear masks or face coverings while school is in session because there may not be enough space in classrooms to maintain 6 feet of social distancing. PE classes will take place outside. Drinking fountains will be turned off and replaced with filling stations for water bottles, and Ames High will become a closed campus. Only 5 doors will be open for students at the high school, and they will enter in one direction and leave in another. And one more note from last Friday, word that an Iowa State University graduate had been chosen as the new NASA International Space Station Program Manager. Joel Montalbano had served as the space station's deputy program manager since 2012. He graduated from Iowa State with a bachelor's degree in aerospace, aeronautical, and astronautical engineering. Saturday's paper brought word that 12 new coronavirus cases had been confirmed in Story County as of Friday morning, bringing the county's total number of cases to 916 since the pandemic began. There was also word that Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds had announced that school districts around the state must conduct at least half of their instruction in person when classes resume over the next few weeks. She said schools would still be able to offer online programs as voluntary options for parents to select for their children, but the districts must get state approval if they want to move an entire building or district to online-only classes. The governor said face-to-face learning is important for academic instruction as well as for socialization, physical activity, and access to mental health care and other services. The governor's announcement came on the same day that Iowa reported a record number of confirmed coronavirus infections for a single day, 879 last Friday alone. The Trib also reported that the Boys and Girls Club of Story County had welcomed children back for the first time since the coronavirus pandemic began. Summer club hours are from 7:45 a.m. to 4:15 p.m. Monday through Thursdays. Registration is limited to county residents who registered with the club during the school year. A teen club is also offered on Thursday nights from 5 to 8 o'clock for children in the 7th through the 11th grades. Extra precautions are in place, such things as the use of face coverings, limiting the number of participants to allow for social distancing, and increased cleaning and disinfecting. And the Trib reported that the family video shop in Ames was selling all its movies and shutting down for good last Saturday. The video rental business at 3407 Lincoln Way was putting everything up for sale, movies, games, and more. Sunday's paper brought word about the heavy toll the coronavirus was taking on black Americans. Here in Iowa, blacks account for 9% of positive coronavirus cases, more than double the 4% of the population that is black. In Polk and Linn counties, the infection disparity was even bigger. In Linn County, the infection rate is 170 blacks per 10,000 population versus 28 per 10,000 for white people. In Polk County, the rate among blacks is 116 infections per 10,000 as opposed to 25 per 10,000 for whites. Also Sunday, a report that the Story City Meat Locker had become the first in the state of Iowa to join an interstate shipment program created by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. That program let small meat processing facilities remain under state inspection while being allowed to use a federal inspection mark and sell products across state lines. The Story City Meat Locker focuses on sustainable butchery and ethical animal treatment. There was also word last Sunday that Boone's newly restored Welcome Train would be moved to its new home adjacent to Highway 30 this week. The Welcome Train consists of a steam locomotive, a coal tender, and a passenger car. It is half a football field long, and it will sit just off Highway 30 and South Story Street at the entrance to Boone. Later this summer, the words "Welcome to Boone" will be painted on the coal tender. The idea is to greet visitors to Boone in an unforgettable way. One more story of note from last Sunday, a feature about the education program coordinator of Iowa State University's Insect Zoo. Her name is Jenny Mitchell, and her job involves loading lots of critters into her minivan and taking them to classrooms, daycare centers, county fairs, churches, birthday parties, and other places. Over the past years, she's given thousands of presentations in 92 of the state's 99 counties. Tuesday's trip brought word that 20 new cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County over the weekend, bringing the county's total number of confirmed virus cases to 936. Three of the new cases had occurred at the Acura Healthcare Facility in Ames. That facility had a total of 40 positive cases. The Trib also reported that six more athletes and staff had tested positive for the coronavirus at Iowa State University. This after coronavirus tests were conducted on members of the university's football, soccer, men's and women's cross-country, and men's and women's basketball and volleyball teams. The university hopes to be able to host football games at Jack Trice Stadium this fall with about 30,000 fans in attendance. The Story County Board of Health has recommended that no fans be allowed inside the stadium. There was also word on Tuesday that Test Iowa appointments had become more difficult to get for people trying to sign up. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds said the reason for the difficulty is increased demand. And there was a report that a social service funding agency for Boone and Story counties, Boost Together for Children, was continuing to try to find ways to reach residents of both areas. The program works to fund programs for children from birth to 5 years old. Among the services funded through Boost, in-home visits, crisis care, training, preschool scholarships, nurse consultants, and child care consultations. The agency has a new director, Nicole Fisher, who told the Tribune she is working on some new initiatives to increase the program's visibility. Wednesday's paper brought the news of the death of Ames High School boys and girls swimming coach Dan Flannery. Flannery passed away from a brain aneurysm on Tuesday. He was one of the most successful swimming coaches in Iowa high school history. Under his leadership, the girls' swim team won 8 titles. Flannery also guided the boys to a state title in 2018. Ames Athletic Director Judge Johnston called Flannery's death, in his words, a devastating loss, not only to our swim community, but to the community of Ames. Wednesday's paper also reported that 14 new cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County, bringing the total to 950 confirmed cases since the pandemic began. One of those new cases took place at Acura Healthcare in Ames, upping the total number in that facility to 41. There was also word that the Nevada School District had decided that students would return to full in-person learning on August 24th. Superintendent Steve Gray told the board that a survey emailed to parents showed that 70% of those responding said they would feel comfortable with the in-person return if the district increased surface cleaning throughout its buildings and encouraged hand washing. Students will not be required to wear face masks at school. Parents will be able to decide to have their children taught online and not in classes. Wednesday's paper also reported that the Ames Police Department had issued arrest warrants for 2 people in connection with an armed robbery in the city earlier this month. 20-year-old Cornelius Burton and 25-year-old Fabian Burse were identified as suspects in the armed robbery of 2 people in the parking lot of the Days Inn on South Duff Avenue. The police department asked for the public's help in finding the suspects. And Wednesday's paper also had word about an event taking place today, Friday. It's a groundbreaking ceremony for the planned solar farm near Sam's Club on Airport Road. The SunSmart Community Solar Farm allows customers of Ames Electric Services to buy a power pack, which is about half a full solar panel, and receive a credit on their monthly utility bills. Today's ceremony was set to take place at 11 a.m. Thursday's paper, yesterday's, reported that 23 more cases of the coronavirus had been confirmed in Story County. That brought the total number of cases in the county to 973 since the pandemic began. 4 of those latest cases had occurred in the Acura Healthcare Facility in Ames, bringing the total there to 45. There was also word Thursday that the Ames School District had gone back to the drawing board to try to figure out how students would be able to return to classrooms next month, after Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds had issued a proclamation about getting students back to school. Ames School District Superintendent Jenny Reisner told school board members this week that one of the district's previous plans involving a so-called hybrid model, where students would alternate between in-person and online instruction, would not meet state guidelines. But families will still be able to choose continuous online learning for their children if they do not want to send them to classes inside schools. The district plans to make a final decision on how the upcoming school year will take place on August 10th. And yesterday's paper also had more remembrances about Dan Flannery, the Ames High swimming coach who had died on Tuesday. Ames Athletic Director Judge Johnston said Flannery had touched many lives and that he related well to teenagers. Dustin Rhodes, who swam for Flannery and then coached with him, said swimmers were drawn to his competitive but caring personality, and that in his words, whether we won or lost, it was just so much fun. And former Johnston coach Sherry Walling, who had coached Flannery in high school, said she knew that Flannery was going to be successful because, in her words, he listened and cared and respected everybody. And she said, he definitely belongs in the Hall of Fame. And that is your summary of a busy week of news from the pages of the Ames Tribune. I'm Dennis Hart. I'll return to this same virtual seat on Monday when I'll report on what's been making news all around Iowa. Between now and then, stay safe, stay healthy, and please stay right here because there's a whole lot more to come straight ahead here on Local Talk.
Thank you, Dennis. And in case you just tuned in, you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Last night, July 23rd, 2020, the Ames, Iowa branch of the NAACP presented the series finale of Taking the Lead 2020, Policing and Justice. Branch President Edna Clinton introduced the guests for the evening, host Dan Culhane, president of the Ames Chamber of Commerce, Ames Mayor John Hala, and Iowa State University President Wendy Winterstein. Here's Edna Clinton.
To the final session in the series of Taking the Lead 2020, Policing and Justice. I would like to thank all who have joined us for any of the sessions, whether it was one session or all. We appreciate your participation. My name is Edna Clinton, a resident of Ames, Iowa, and I am the president of the Ames NAACP branch. It is important to continue the momentum and find solutions to the issues that allow a George Floyd and so many similar tragedies to occur. We have opened the door for critical, courageous, and continuous conversations that lead to produce long-lasting, positive changes. Ames, Story County, where do we go from here? We must eliminate the fear injustices create and boldly step out to ensure that we are moving towards equity of treatment and outcomes for all. The NAACP advocates for smarter, results-based criminal justice policies to keep our communities safe, including treatment for addiction and mental health problems, judicial discretion in sentencing, and an end to racial disparities at all levels of our system. I would like to take this opportunity to thank the City of Ames for partnering with the Ames NAACP branch to make this important series available. We are pleased that the city has adopted goals essential to ensuring equitable policing and justice. Those evaluating a diverse, equitable, and inclusive community, and evaluating communication and engaging with the public. As you listen tonight, I encourage you to pause and remember, nothing changes when we don't learn, grow, and share with humility and desire for justice. By the way, the entire Taking the Lead 2020 Policing and Justice series will be available on the Ames NAACP branch Facebook for your use. Now, we will hear from our moderator, Dan Culhane, CEO and President of the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Dan?
Ms. Edna, thank you, sir, very much for the introduction. Thank you for including me tonight. I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be your moderator on behalf of my board of directors and nearly 700 members of the Ames Chamber of Commerce. We're really grateful for the partnership, the long partnership we've had as a chamber with the NAACP, certainly with the City of Ames and Iowa State University. So it's great to be here. I'll make a very brief remark here, and then I'm going to turn it over to our distinguished panelists. Ensuring public safety, whether in a city or on a campus, is one of a leader's fundamental obligations. Essential to fair and effective policing is expanding the range of viable alternatives to criminal law enforcement so that police have multiple tools from which to fashion effective responses to quite varied public safety problems. Local leadership plays a role in championing these initiatives, and I'm pleased that we have two of our most prominent leaders in our community, Mayor John Hala and President of Iowa State University, Dr. Wendy Winterstein, with us tonight. And so they're going to provide a few opening comments, and then we'll get right into our questions. I've got a series of questions here that I'll be reciting to each of them for their respective answers. We are going to begin with Mayor John Hala. Mayor, welcome.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Edna. We appreciate the opportunity to visit with you this evening. Just thought I'd share a little bit about myself and my background. First of all, I was born in Chicago and lived on both coasts and went to high school in Southern California. My parents ended up moving to West Des Moines after I graduated from high school, which brought me to Central Iowa. And in 1972, a long time ago, I became a freshman in architecture at Iowa State. During that time, proud alumni. After graduating, met my wife on campus, and we ended up wanting to stay in the Central Iowa area. We were involved with a faith community here in Ames. I ended up living next door in Boone, raised our family there, but we had our feet actually in both communities, had a lot of friends over here, spent a lot of time over here. And in 1986, I started my own architecture and engineering firm. And in 2009, moved it to Campustown. It was an intentional move into that area. And in 2011, my wife and I both moved over here to Ames, where we are just honored to be Ames residents. While I was in Campustown, I had the privilege of serving as president of a Campustown Action Association. And through that, I became exposed to and interacted with the Ames City Council. And I was so impressed with their leadership and their vision for the community. They're being forward thinking, and the seed was planted to consider one time or in the future, maybe to consider running for city council. So through a series of events, and including being engaged on as a president of the transit board, which further caused me to be engaged with Iowa State University through board members, as well as the city manager, city council member, I was very impressed with the overall process and ended up deciding to consider running for the position of a mayor. I sold my company in 2016 and consulted for a couple of years, and now I'm retired, so to speak, but love serving Ames as its mayor. And so I was elected in 2017, so I took the oath of office on January 1st of 2018, and it is indeed an honor and a privilege to serve as your mayor, and look forward to this evening. And I just want to thank the NAACP for taking the lead and sponsoring these four sessions. I personally have learned an immense amount from all three of the previous sessions. I'm looking forward to interacting with everybody this evening.
Thank you very much, Mayor. President Winterstein, please.
Thank you, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here with everyone this evening, with Dan Colhane, a great partner of Iowa State, certainly with Mayor Hala, who we work with so closely on a very regular basis, and with Edna Clinton, who provides extraordinary leadership for all of us, as well as with the NAACP. So my thanks to the NAACP. I would also like to thank the panelists that have been in the previous events in this series. And a very special thanks to two individuals at Iowa State University that have done so much, I believe, to support the climate that we want to have on campus and that we want to have in this community. And that's our Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion, Reg Stewart. Reg is an individual that over the time that he's been at Iowa State has truly built partnerships across the community. He's brought the city and Iowa State closer together. So I'm very thankful for how the city has worked with us on many different issues. So deep thanks to Reg, and certainly he moderated two of the sessions, I believe. I'm close on that. And then I would also like to thanks, Edna. And then I would also like to thank our Chief of Police, Michael Newton, an individual that when he arrived here said that he too had a commitment to achieving the type of climate that we want to have for our students and for our community. And he's done extraordinary things. Again, a partnership that he's developed with the city of Ames and really across Story County as well. So I'm just so proud of those two individuals. When I was appointed as president, I said that I wanted Iowa State University to be a model for all land grants on how we could provide a welcoming and inclusive environment that we would truly welcome all of our students. And you know from the past year, our own events here at Iowa State University, that we have addressed struggles that our students have had. We continue to listen and to hear on how we can do a better job of achieving that goal that I set as president. And we're going to continue to work on it. It's going to take all of us every day working together to make a difference. So thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. It's good to sit at this table with these three individuals.
Thank you, President Winterstein. That's so true. And I think that's what's unique about these panels and in these forums you've conducted, Edna, is that we weren't meeting one another for the first time. We've collaborated previously. And so when we get back together to do things like this, we're renewing friendships because we see each other all the time. And so that's the exciting thing I think we have that's best for us as we move forward collectively here in Ames and Story County. We're going to jump right into our questions. Our first question will go to President Winterstein. And that question is, what do you consider to be problem issues on campus related to policing and justice? What are you currently doing to address those issues?
Well, I began my opening comments by thanking Chief of Police Michael Newton for the work that he's done to really establish what we will call a community-centered approach to public safety. And truly under Chief Newton's leadership, we are emerging as a national model. When we have our national conference on race and ethnicity at Iowa State, the Iowa State Conference on Race and Ethnicity, we invariably have police departments from all over the nation want to come and observe Chief Newton and his team and how they work on diversity and inclusion. Just recently, the chief was called by the police department at Harvard University to learn more about Chief Newton's leadership and the work of his team on the Iowa State campus. So we are working hard to tell that story locally. We're known nationally for the good work they do, but we need to do a better job of communicating about that. Most importantly, I think, is the work of our engagement and inclusion officers and what they do and this very special program that we have. And this is a program that really revolves around building a culture of respect, a culture that is free of discrimination. And these officers involved in this program truly are being successful in this. This program includes a full-time mental health advocate, and all the officers are trained in bias incident response. In addition, the ISU police have extended their annual bias training to all officers and to all members of the Department of Public Safety at Iowa State. I can give you lots of examples. The programs like Tailgate with the Cops or the t-shirt giveaways that our police officers do, they help to reduce the stigma that's oftentimes associated with law enforcement. And that makes a difference, right? To see the ISU police in a different light, to know them as individuals truly makes a difference. It's also important to note that the ISU Police Department supports many student services, and those include the ISU Guardian app, so you can get on your phone and call in and say, I'm walking home from the library back to where I live or to the bus stop or to a residence hall, and the Guardian app can be with you as you walk home. Feeling safe is an important part of what we have to do at Iowa State and in our community to make everyone feel safe. In addition, the police support our Safe Ride. They offer self-defense courses and training. And of course, they lead our sexual assault response team, which can be, is can is involves 15 nurses. And this is not just an ISU program. This is an Ames program. This is a Story County program. So the sexual assault response team is about all of us working together. They've also done programs like Change the Message, Change the Culture, which is focused on social justice and, again, on sexual assault victims to bring more awareness to other activities that the Iowa State Police does outside of policing. So they're going to continue to do this work, and I think to make a tremendous amount of difference in the lives of our students and in our community. And of course, they do this work always in partnership and collaboration with their partners in the Ames Police Department and in other policing departments in the county. And then I would just add one more pride point, and that is our engagement and inclusive officers team's work was recognized with the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators Innovation in Community Policing Award. Now that's a mouthful, but what I hope you heard there was that it was an award from the International Association for Innovation and Community Policing Award. So we have great leadership. We have great members of the police department. They work closely across campus, and we're going to do a better job of getting the message out about their work.
Thank you, Wendy. Mayor, would you like the question repeated?
Oh, I think I have it, Dan. Thank you.
Okay.
I'd say that one of the biggest things that the police department is really needs to focus on, and it's a city issue, and that is to build trust, relationships, and communication with the community. This is an ongoing issue and remains a focus of our police department. Secondly, is to even make stronger our community policing. And I will say this, that our Ames Police Department is committed to that. And they do desire to find the best way to help those in need by using local resources as well as local agencies. So with City Council's knowledge and our full support, the Ames Police Department will continue to develop those relationships, build trust, and foster communication with the community members. I just want to share a few examples of the ways that we're doing that right now, and I know there's going to be additional ways going forward. The first is our safe neighborhood teams. This is comprised of four officers. They'll attend block parties. They'll interact with residents while they're on patrol. They'll interact through emails, phone calls, with the vision of better understanding what's going on in the different neighborhoods around the community, to make them safer, but also to build those relationships and also to build that trust. Secondly is we now have two school resource officers in Ames. We had one for a number of years, and that was so successful that in combination with the Ames Community School District, Police Department approached council about adding a second one. And so we now have one full-time at the high school and one that's at the middle school. And I believe they share some time also going over to elementary. What's some of the goals? It's building trust, communication, relationships directly with the students and directly with families, with the goal of being proactive and preventative versus actually having to deal with issues down the road. We also have community safety resource officers. They're college students that are hired to assist in nonviolent traffic control duties. You may see them out there on a football game where they're helping to direct traffic. It helps build student understanding with the police department and actually helps create some ownership and a stake in the Ames Police Department's mission. We also, as Dr. Winterstein referred to, close communication with the ISU Dean of Students, ISU Police, and I believe to some extent also with the ISU Vice President of Diversity and Inclusivity. We also have a campus town safety walks. It may sound like something which is fairly small, but it's a way to make our neighborhoods safer by examining the built environment. Maybe we can improve lighting in certain areas through maybe some landscaping is blocking visibility. But the whole idea, again, is being proactive. And this last example I always want to share is that we really want to divert people from police contact into more appropriate services. And I'll probably share more about this later on during this hour. But we have a mental health advocate, like Iowa State has a mental health advocate. And we have established multidisciplinary cooperation in response to homelessness, addiction, sexual assault, youth development, and other issues. But the whole goal is we want to keep them out of the justice system. We want to get them help early on. And that mental health advocate has been invaluable in doing this undertaking.
Thank you, Mayor. Don't rest there. You're up for the next question right away. Our second question is, what policies and procedures do you promote and enforce to ensure that students or residents have interactions with the police and city or campus justice processes that ensure equitable outcomes? Further, what types of information do you use to develop those policies and procedures? Mayor, please.
Sure. Well, first of all, in previous sessions, in the first session, Chief Sykosh, and in the second session, Commander Huff, shared the various types of training that the officers go through, either on an annual basis or more frequently, to address bias, implicit bias, and treating all residents in an equitable manner. So I'm not going to go back and review what they have, what they shared. Secondly, in the event that there is an issue that arises, the city is committed to receiving or responding to officer or departmental actions or complaints. I want to just share with you just the process that people can go through if they do have complaints or concerns. First of all, the police want to hear if there are issues. So the first thing that we encourage people to do is to report to a shift supervisor. And if they don't get adequate response, then addressing the police chief. It's understood that that may not be very comfortable to be doing that. And I will share with you that based on some conversations with some individuals, we are starting to explore how can we use technology that an issue can be reported by using technology or an app. We have an app called Ames on the Go, and I have asked staff to start looking into, can that be expanded to allow someone to submit a complaint or a concern in terms of an interaction with somebody in law enforcement. We do have a city manager form of government, and actually the city manager hires the police chief, and then indirectly the police officers are underneath that. The city manager can be appealed to, as well as after that, if there's not an adequate response, then to the mayor or the city council. Additionally, if there is a bias or discrimination complaint, Ames does have a human relations commission that will receive those complaints. If it's a civil rights violation, we do refer that to experienced, trained individuals at the state level and at the Civil Rights Commission. And we also have a state ombudsman who can be appealed to in certain situations as well. So there's multiple ways to deal with it. But the bottom line is we want to be transparent. We want to be dealing with issues. And the best way to do it is to make those known so we can deal with them and make people feel welcome and also treated equitably. And third, there are multiple feedback loops that the police department uses to assess their own operations and actions. So, for example, the Story County attorney will review cases and offer feedback. There's feedback from the city manager's office and also our city attorney. The department has annual performance measure reviews for officers and staff. They also review body camera footage to make sure that things are being done appropriately. And another option is for people, we send out every year an annual City of Ames resident survey. And in that, you can offer input and feedback on anything relative to what's going on in the city, including law enforcement and fire department. And so we look to that to also get feedback in terms of how are we doing. So we're endeavoring to ensure that we can understand what's going on and make improvements where necessary. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, we are not perfect. We have room for improvement. There are things that need to be dealt with. But the only way to do that is to understand what's going on. And I'm pleased to say that that conversation, because of these sessions, that conversation is beginning, and we're getting more feedback. And I will say that the police department is taking it very seriously, the city manager is taking it seriously. We're taking it seriously as council, and we're endeavoring to address those, become more aware of them, and move forward.
Thank you, Mayor Haley. I appreciate that comment about we're always working to get better. You know, there's always work to do, that's for certain, no doubt about it. President Winterstein, you're up.
Thank you, Dan. And I'll just echo the mayor's comment as well. You really have to have a focus on every day working to get better, every day listening to what students, faculty, and staff, the community has to share with you, what has been their experience. So active listening, listening deeply to the feedback that we receive, that really is the right path to the future, because that informs the actions that are needed. In terms of Iowa State University and our work relative to this question, Dan, I would begin by saying that our police department first actively engages with our Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion's office to be offering seminars, presentations, to be engaged again in a different light than in policing, but to be engaged in the classroom, in student gatherings, where they are having these types of conversations. And for us at Iowa State, again, I think this has made a difference. I'll give you one example. In the Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion's office, there are what we call campus conversations. And a while back, one of the conversations that was held was called Big or Small, Do You Call? And this was really a review of racial bias during police interactions and responding to some of the calls that come in that are not relevant or accurate to the action being described to the police department. And to be able to have a conversation with students, to have the police in the room having a conversation with students about this, that's a way that we can let students share terribly unfortunate experiences they may have had, but also for other students to learn what the situation is. So this interaction of being in the classroom, being in different types of gatherings with our students, with our Vice President for Diversity and Inclusion's office staff, that really makes a difference. So it's a very formal partnership that exists there. In addition, the Iowa State Police Department has a student advisory board, and it's important that that there's that opportunity for students to sit, to be able to provide advice to the police department, to be able to ask questions about actions, to be able to help review policies and procedures. That really starts to build a different type of trusting relationship where students actually have a voice in how those different policies are being implemented. So that work is underway, has been underway, and that type of opportunity for input and advice to the police department by our students is going to continue. And again, that's how change occurs. The police department has a written set of policies that are up on their webpage, links to those policies that are available for individuals to look at. And they really have a very strong set of expectation for all members of the department as it relates to non-biased policing and requirements that everyone is expected to adhere to.
Thank you, President Winterstein. We'll stay with you and we'll go to our next question, which is what is your process for determining whether there are unintended negative consequences as it relates to existing policies and procedures?
Well, again, I think I'll pick up where I left off there, Dan, and that is to say that you have to give students, faculty and staff, community members a voice. They have to be able to be at the table, to share their experiences how they've experienced policing at Iowa State University or in the community. They have to be able to share those experiences, and they also have to be able to give advice to question certain policies and to be at the table for a really an authentic discussion about what the situation is. This type of feedback is really how we can avoid unintended negative consequences by hearing that feedback. So we're going to continue to do that with the Student Advisory Board. We're going to continue to do that in other types of venues where individuals have the opportunity, again, to share their experiences and provide feedback on policies and procedures.
Thank you. And would you say that this isn't something new? This is something that the campus police department's been doing for an extended period of time. Is that true?
That's correct. Ever since Chief Newton arrived, he has been involved with this, had that student advisory board in place, but there's a heightened need and awareness of that now under the circumstances that we're dealing with. We are having the most forthright conversation about racial inequity that we've had for 60 years. And so this is the opportunity to truly make a difference. And those were some of Edna's opening comments.
Without question. Thank you, Wendy. Mayor Hala.
Well, I'm going to continue on with that same theme that Dr. Winterstein opened with, and that is feedback. Feedback is critical, and it's going to be from people outside of the city hall, outside the police station, back to either a council or a police department, but also internal feedback, and that is monitoring the impact that policies may have through looking at staff reports, analysis of situations that they develop. And there's times where they're brought to the council for our attention. I wanted to share one really positive example of how something could have remained very negative, but turned out to have a really positive outcome for our community. And this kind of goes to one of the things that Edna mentioned too in her opening comments, and that has to do with mental health. A number of years ago, our officers were trained on how to respond to mental health crises. While we were willing participants in terms of getting training, actually mental health services really is not a local law enforcement issue, but it's really more of a state issue. But because our officers are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, an unintended consequence was a quadrupling of mental health calls over the course of a few years. And just to give you some perspective, last year, they responded to over 1,600 mental health calls. So uniformed officers responding to calls might end up escalating versus diffusing a situation. So council is made aware of this through some reports that they received from council, from the police department. We found there's growing call volume through discussions, staff reports, and presentations. And we determined a creative solution was necessary. So with council support, the Ames Police Department, in concert with several other local partners, established a mobile crisis response team and the Crisis Stabilization and Transition Living Center. And both of these provide a level of intervention by trained and or credentialed mental health staff members instead of by a uniformed police officer. So officers are only called upon during life safety situation. And again, the whole idea is to de-escalate a situation, and someone arriving in a uniform may end up causing more of an issue. Now, on a positive note, we got a very encouraging email just today from a resident where we had officers that did respond to a mental health situation, and they did not even have a location. Through a variety of means, they were able to get into that area, and they report back, and we just love getting these positive reports. It was a mental health situation, and this is a situation where they had to go out, and they did a tremendous job of helping get care for this individual versus getting them into the justice system. And secondly, the position of a mental health advocate that I mentioned previously was created. Now, Julie Saxton currently serves as our mental health advocate, and she serves as a conduit between crisis response and stabilization and the police department. This position is devoted to diverting individuals away from police contact and into community mental health services wherever possible. So our whole goal is not to get people into the judicial system, but to try and get them the help that they desperately need. And this is just one great example of the Mobile Crisis Response Team being able to go out and help people in needed situations.
And then, can I just add on to that, Dan, real quickly?
Please.
I just think all of us need to be aware of the growing needs in mental health. That's an understatement. Uh-huh. Mayor Hala's comments are very appropriate for tonight's conversation, because we know that the COVID-19 is creating more stress and anxiety. We are very concerned as we continue on through the pandemic, what the impact is on individuals' mental health. And certainly at Iowa State University, the good work of our Thielen Health Center, but also what we're able to do now with apps. It's hard to believe for an older person like myself, who would never think I would get mental health support via an app. You know, that is the reality now, that you can get on something like Cognito, or you can go to different texting services that can help you. Again, that's not how I would think about getting assistance, but there's a lot of different ways out there we can provide that help. But I just hope we can all remember during this terrible pandemic that we're seeing a rise in mental health concerns.
I would agree with Dr. Winterstein 100%, and it's enough of a concern not only with college students or adults, but it's also a big issue with K-12.
Yeah.
And to that end, I formed a mayor's youth mental health task force that began to meet early this year, and COVID-19 unfortunately has put that on hold. But the point is, we have to get our arms wrapped around this, and that's where we want to help people where they're at and avoid any interaction if we can with law enforcement. And with so many calls coming in that could transition into engagement with law enforcement, this is the best way to do it proactively. And so that is a high priority of mine. I know it's of Dr. Winterstein's. I know it's of this community. People are concerned about it. And so when we get our arms wrapped around this better, we're going to start seeing, and it's a partnership with Iowa State law enforcement, Ames Police Department, YSS, Mary Greeley Medical Center, McFarland Clinic, the Ames School District, United Way. There's a whole group of people that started meeting together, and we're going to hear more about it as a community, but we just want to diffuse it and help people where they're at.
Well said by both of you. You know, it's really incredible, and it's important, and I'm grateful that the mental health and the funding of mental health, that's a whole other forum sometime another time. But the fact that we're talking about mental health the way we are, it's so much more accepted than it's ever been, is really, really great. It's really important because it impacts so many people. And so it's terrific the way the police department and the city and the university are intervening in situations where, as you say, Mara, you're not sending a uniformed officer to escalate the situation. That's terrific leadership on the part of our police department and our Department of Public Safety.
Just so we're clear, Dan, because the police are available at all hours, all days of the year, they may end up showing up if there's no one available for some reason, or the call occurs and it turns into it actually mental health. But they try and do assessments early on, and if they can mobilize the mobile crisis team, that's a preferred way, because they can come in and try and help. And that's just one aspect of community policing, which we're committed to, have been committed to, and it came out of what we thought could be an unintended consequence of a situation.
President Winterstein, would you like to conclude with some final remarks?
Well, I just want to thank everyone for the opportunity for this conversation this evening, and I look forward to future conversations that will help both Iowa State University and our community move forward to address issues of racial inequality, to help us have a welcoming and inclusive environment at Iowa State and throughout the Ames community.
Well, I just want to first of all thank Dr. Winterstein for being on with this panel. I just want the community to know how much we value her partnership, and I mean that sincerely. It's just not a token word that we're throwing around. Through this whole COVID-19 situation, and even prior to that, the lines of communication are wide open. There's a commitment to our community. We don't see ourselves as being divorced or being separate in terms of Iowa State and then the city of Ames. We are one community. All the students are part of our community. And I just want to thank again the NAACP for taking a lead and making this initiative for these four sessions. And I want to just close with this, and I've shared this in my opening remarks, but I think it bears repeating, and that is, we as Ames residents have to be engaged in conversations like we're having tonight. We have to be talking about diversity, equity, inclusivity, issue of race. It's our community is not perfect, but change starts with each one of us. It's not an institution. It's just not one group of people. It's all of us. So I'm asking every person to identify what changes each of us need to make. I have changes I need to make. I think we all need to look at that. Then we've got to work together as a community so that every person, regardless of their color, race, creed, sex, national origin, religion, ancestry, disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, or socioeconomic status, feels welcome and is treated equally in the Ames community. To that end, I'm committed. I know that Dr. Winterstein is from Iowa State, and I know you are. We talked about it before, too. I think our community is committed to that. We just need to put our shoulder to plow and work positively, proactively together as a community. And I think if we can do that, we'll make positive change. And to that end, I know NAACP is committed to that and through this leadership. And I look forward to moving on. And as President Clinton indicated, we've just begun. We got work ahead of us, but we're committed to doing it. And I want to just close with this. And I've shared this in my opening remarks, but I think it bears repeating. And that is, we as Ames residents have to be engaged in conversations like we're having tonight. We have to be talking about diversity, equity, inclusivity, issue of race. It's our community is not perfect, but change starts with each one of us. It's not an institution. It's just not one group of people. It's all of us. So I'm asking every person to identify what changes each of us need to make. I have changes I need to make. I think we all need to look at that. Then we've got to work together as a community so that every person, regardless of their color, race, creed, sex, national origin, religion, ancestry, disability, sexual orientation, gender identity, or socioeconomic status, feels welcome and is treated equally in the Ames community. To that end, I'm committed. I know that Dr. Winterstein is from Iowa State, and I know you are. We talked about it before, too. I think our community is committed to that. We just need to put our shoulder to plow and work positively, proactively together as a community. And I think if we can do that, we'll make positive change. And to that end, I know NAACP is committed to that and through this leadership. And I look forward to moving on. And as President Clinton indicated, we've just begun. We got work ahead of us, but we're committed to doing it.
Wonderful.
Well said, Mayor Hala. Thank you both very much for being our panelists tonight. What I love about these conversations is that we're not perfect. We continue to work towards getting better. It isn't like we check a box and say, well, we're done with that. Let's move on to something else. This is an ongoing conversation and dialogue, and we need to continue to find ways to make our community better for everyone, no matter where they're from or what their background might be. So well said by you both. I want to thank you both for being here tonight. Edna, thank you so much for the partnership the NAACP shares with all of us on this call this evening. I want to thank all the folks that were on with us live tonight. If you want to pass this along, you can find this later on. This was recorded on the City of Ames YouTube channel 12 or thecityofames.org. And I also know the NAACP We'll have this on their Facebook page and their website here in the coming days. With that, thank you also very much. Have a nice evening. Thank you.
Good night.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've just heard selections from the finale of the four-part series Taking the Lead 2020, Policing and Justice. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.